This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive Fan Run Radio, kicking off Monday afternoon edition of the show. Hope you had a great weekend. Thanks for tuning in today. My name is Russell Smith. We got a full house here in the Fan Run studios today. Bears here. Rick Butler is going to be hanging out. Mr. Fabulous, GP3, joining us as well. And the good news right off the top, man, we're all still here.
Right.
We're all still here. The Chinese rocket evidently burned up in the atmosphere, and the wreckage plunged into the Indian Ocean, making Adam Hickman.
Hickman
was the winner of the Fan Run Chinese rocket debris pool.
Yeah.
I think I had,
and I will say,
Europe and Asia.
That,
so I was close.
Right, he was. He has been given credit across multiple shows today for winning it.
Oh, good. Good to hear.
Yeah.
Hey, man, that's a hell of an I told you so.
And he just came up with it. He's like, I think it's going to land in the Indian Ocean.
I didn't know where it was going to go. What, you picked the Pacific, right? Or the Atlantic?
No, the Pacific simply, I just went with the odds. The Pacific Ocean's the biggest.
I thought you picked Atlantic.
No, I picked the Pacific.
All right. Well, shout out to Hickman. He wins. Huge news right off the top of the show, Bear. I don't know if you've seen this. News has rocked the social media landscape. Bennifer is back.
Bennifer.
Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez, the original early 2000s power couple, apparently are an item again. How does that strike you?
That is not the social media news I thought you were going to go with right off the bat today.
What did you have?
For a loop.
What did you have, Rick?
Well, the baseball news came out a little bit ago, but I'm actually interested in the whole Bennifer thing now.
Yeah, we can get to Tennessee baseball. I mean, let's go right off the top with the stuff that matters, the stuff that the people want to hear
the
about.
Okay, the gossip.
Yeah.
The e-news stuff.
Bennifer seen vacationing together at Yellowstone Club in Montana. What are they, like in their mid-50s now? They've both been through some stuff. And apparently 17 years after calling off their engagement, one of the original Hollywood power couples is back. Getting back together. Who says true love doesn't exist, Rick? You can't keep a good man and a good woman down.
It's a motivational story for the ages. But has either of them... Yeah, I haven't followed either of their love stories well. Have either of them been engaged in the meantime?
Hasn't been married a couple times?
I think they've
both been married. Yeah. I mean, they've...
So there you go. Now it's really come back full circle. You go through other marriages to get back to the original person.
Yeah.
Impressive.
You just got to keep coming back, man. You can keep coming back. Apparently they met up at Los Angeles, reconnected, and a source tells E! News,
uh-oh,
quote, they were alone, just the two of them, as they jetted back to Yellowstone Club in Montana, vacationing together for about a week. Photos obtained by the Daily Mail show Lopez and Affleck driving together. Does your, J-Lo is married to A-Rod. J-Lo and A-Rod. J-Rod.
They're split up?
I hope so for A-Rod's sake. Yeah, they split.
Yeah.
They split. So
I wonder how that's got to feel for A-Rod.
Yeah, I mean, think you wish her the best. Yeah.
It's Ben Affleck.
It's what you say. Well, how does Ben Affleck feel? It's A-Rod.
Ben Affleck's bigger than A-Rod.
Wait, we're talking about personality and
yeah.
Star, right? Okay. I don't know. Is he?
He's got an Academy Award.
A-Rod's got several
World Series
rings and batting titles. And
I am just picking this up and just really realizing that this is the same person, do you think that now Ben Affleck could have been the cause of this other marriage to end? Do you think this maybe even goes back a couple months?
Ben Affleck, a lot of things. I don't think he's a homewrecker.
Yeah. I find it fascinating.
Although, didn't he... never mind. I get them all mixed up.
He's got some really bad tattoos.
He does?
Oh, yeah.
He's been in some really bad movies.
He's been in some really good ones, too.
He has.
What's your favorite Affleck movie?
The Town was really good.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Really good.
Gone Girl.
Gone Girl was really good.
I haven't
seen
that one yet. Hey, Fergie. I love the Boston accents.
I mean, and the original Good Will Hunting. It's a classic. Can't deny it.
I take it you did not see him as Batman?
I did. I saw the Batman versus Superman movie.
Okay.
Terrible. Just awful.
Not a good flick. I liked him as I think he can do Bruce Wayne.
He wasn't terrible. It's one of the movies that kind of pushed me away from the superhero movies. Yeah. It was just like, okay, this is really dumb.
Why I saw a trailer this weekend. Why do we have another Batman again? And this one's
Lot of Batmans.
We have a lot of Batman. Too many Batmans now.
This is Robert Pattinson is Batman.
God. Really?
Yeah, Bat-Burt Battenbat. That's what Brandon and I. We like to refer to him as, Robert Pattinson, Bat-Burt.
What?
So he's going to be the Batman now. There's a lot of different ones going on.
Who's your favorite Batman? Michael Keaton?
Michael Keaton, all the way. Those first two movies haven't even... The Christopher Nolan ones come close.
With Christian Bale?
Yeah, but...
I feel like he's a pretty good Batman.
First two are... Who?
Christian Bale.
He was. Yeah, he's good.
Val Kilmer, horrible.
Horrible. George Clooney, horrible. Been some bad Batmans. Ben Affleck kind of straddles. Like I said, man, his career, it's run the gamut, right? I mean, when you talk about the best Ben Affleck movies, what's the worst Ben Affleck movie you've seen? And I never saw Jiggly. I never saw that. People said that was one of the worst movies of all time.
I take so long to watch movies that usually I don't see the bad ones.
He has been in some stinkers, and I will put Superman versus Batman.
Argo. Argo is one of my all-time favorites.
Argo is very good. Daredevil would be on the other end of that spectrum.
There was one with Samuel L. Jackson. Apparently, it was pretty bad. He was incredible in Dazed and Confused.
Oh, that's right. That was a good one.
What was his name in that?
He was O'Bannon.
O'Bannon. O'Bannon.
He was a great bully. Yeah.
He flunked senior year to be able to haze freshman again.
He spent his whole day just trying to get that one kid.
Yeah.
Never got him.
No.
Well, that does make me... It does raise my radar a little bit. He's... The last picture... you see Ben Affleck. He's smoking a cigarette dejectedly with a big belly and just looking like life's wearing him down. J-Lo, not exactly on top of the celebrity status in Hollywood anymore. Is this a work?
No. Last time J-Lo headlined the Super Bowl halftime show, last year?
With Shakira.
So how are you going to say that
she's not as big as she was.
Watch your mouth.
That's a good moment for her, for sure. But she's not the star that she was 10, 15 years ago. That's not an opinion. That's just a fact. You know, we all recognize that, I think. Is this a play by a couple of aging Hollywood celebs to hold on to whatever relevance that they have left?
No.
No?
Nah.
You think it's real?
Yeah.
The heart wants what it wants.
Yeah.
And Ben wants his tacoed flavor kisses. Anybody see that? South Park? No? It's one of the greatest South Park episodes of all time.
Which one was that?
The one with Ben Affleck and J-Lo. Cartman had the hand puppet J-Lo. Really? I'm the only one that's... GP3, you've seen the hand puppet J-Lo.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I didn't catch the reference at first, but yes, I've seen the Ben Affleck episode.
Taco flavor kisses for my bean. All right. Well, we got a big show lined up for you, despite what the opening here might say. Trey Wallace is going to join us here
Josh Heupel doing work out on the recruiting trail, in the portal, and the recruiting trail. Welcome to modern college football. You got to get players wherever you can get them. Now, that is not the big news of the day. I don't know. Maybe it is the big news. I'm still trying to figure out what to make of this baseball team, how big it really is. I suppose that we'll see some more of that this weekend, as it is announced by the university that Lindsey Nelson Stadium will be 100% open this weekend as the number one team of the country, Arkansas, comes to town for a three-game series with your fourth-ranked Tennessee Volunteers. This is the third time that we've been through this, but the biggest series in Lindsey Nelson Stadium in a long, long time.
When's the last time we've been part of a top five matchup at home?
It'd be Vanderbilt a couple weeks ago, right? Or what? No, we were. But were we top five at that point? It was a top 10 matchup for sure.
I'm pretty sure it was 5-3 or 5-2.
I think so.
5-2.
So
I don't know. To me, it's
according to UT Athletics, that was number 2-3. You can even go all the way up to.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's so many different base.
Time to,
it's so confusing. Just take the best one.
Slaughter the Hogs this weekend. Get them in here. Round them up. Slit throats.
No!
Scrub the bristles off of them. Some barbecue.
We eating good?
We've been thinking about a nickname for Lindsey Nelson Stadium. I don't know about how this works long term, but for this weekend, how about the slaughterhouse?
That works for me.
That's
the
solid.
Abattoir, if you will.
Nah, slaughterhouse.
Come on down. Get some. You guys excited? Big series this weekend.
I'm going to have a picture of Vitello in a bloodstained butcher smock.
You've got bloodlust this afternoon.
I want a piece of Arkansas's ass. I want there to be no doubt after this weekend who the best team in college baseball is.
Whoa, Fulmer.
Think about the expectations for this program and where they're at right now, because there's nobody in this room, there's nobody in this fan base that would take one of three. You know, we used to talk to Rusty Enzer all the time. His mantra, don't get swept, to hell with that. And we're playing the number one team in the country.
I want to win two out of three.
We want to win the series. That has to be the goal, to win the series.
We're at home. We should win, you know, if we're a top four team in the country. I feel like this is our house. We need to defend it. Win two out of three.
Well, it's a measuring stick series, again, to really see how you stack up. Most analysts have said that Vanderbilt and Arkansas are the two best teams in the country. And we went toe-to-toe with Vanderbilt, couldn't quite get it done from a total series perspective. But you've got another opportunity this weekend.
We're going to have to score runs this weekend. Like Vanderbilt, it's almost a tale of – like Vanderbilt, their pitching's incredible. But Arkansas, they light it up.
Well, we'll talk some more with some of our baseball minds throughout the week on the show. But my gut is, without knowing a ton about Arkansas, because I just don't watch college baseball except for Tennessee for the most part. I doubt they have two pitchers the caliber of Rocker and Leiter. So my gut feeling is their starting pitching will still be strong, but their hitting might be a little bit better.
Yeah.
I think something where our pitchers are going to have to kick up a notch, which is a really good sign that we saw Blade Tidwell. I know it's against Missouri, but by far his best start since the Georgia series?
Yes.
To start the season?
Yeah. Yeah, I can give you a little bit of the tail of the tape right now, but you're totally on the right track. I think when you look at Arkansas from this season, and Grant, we're talking about the number one team in the country here. So when we're talking about weaknesses, they're all very relative. But if you do want to find a weakness with Arkansas and a place that Tennessee is going to try to look to jump out to, it is their starting pitching. If you give Arkansas a lead and, you know, if you give Arkansas a lead and they get to their bullpen, we're in trouble. I think a big key for Tennessee this year is going to be jumping out to an early lead. Again, their bullpen, very strong. Their offense, that's the strength of the team, number one. Their starting pitching, if you want to look at all three aspects, that's likely where Tennessee can get a jump on Arkansas this weekend. But again, everything's a little bit relative when you're talking about the weakness of the number one team in the country.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it'll be a great atmosphere. I've not really looked at it. Do we have any sort of...
I think it's supposed to be pretty this weekend. Talking about the weather.
It's looking good, man.
Yeah.
It's looking good. 70,
oh, yeah.
Sunshine. It's looking good.
Perfect.
Well, I have mixed feelings. I will not be able to participate. So I'm going to be out of town, leaving town Friday. I got a wedding in the beach in North Carolina.
You lead a charmed life, Smith.
I guess so. I mean, I'd rather, just being honest here, rather be home going to one or two of these ball games. Maybe all of them. Rather
Good point.
Be planning our first ever baseball voluntary reaction.
I know.
And won't be able to do it, but I will be keeping up from a distance. And then we've got, South Carolina next weekend, and then that's it.
It's wild how the season's already flown by so fast, but hey, it's what happens when you're winning.
And then we'll have tournaments to talk about and everything, so it's going to get wild. Going to be lit around here, as they say in the trade. All right, lot to get to here this afternoon. Open up the phone lines, 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show. Quick timeout. The Drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio. The Drive continues. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show. All right, Bear.
Yes, sir.
Are you ready to walk back your Henry T. ain't good enough to play at Bama take?
No, now that because that's not what I said.
Okay.
I think I said all along that Alabama was going to wait until after spring practice and evaluate what they had, and if they had a spot for him, they'd probably sign him. I'm still not backing off. I'll be stunned. If that kid breaks, he's not going to be in the starting lineup. Not to start the year for sure. He got coached by Brian Niedermeyer for, 2 years?
Uh-huh.
Didn't go through spring practice anywhere. He's just been working out, and he's going to get signed on to Alabama. I mean, my evaluation of seeing him play the past 2 years at Tennessee has not changed anything. He doesn't cover good in space.
I'm sorry.
Do you want to go check the film? I mean, I saw your dumbass tweet. Well, you know, I didn't take the bait. I knew you were targeting.
So you think Saban has signed him just for depth? To be a good special teams guy?
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
Do you think he'll play in the NFL?
Here's the X factor. I mean, the kid was incredibly talented coming out of high school. He got virtually no development here at Tennessee, unfortunately. He's got all the tools to do it. It all depends on what happens at Alabama. Do I think the Alabama coaching staff could, you know, coach him up?
Well, you thought he was pretty good the his first year when Kevin Scherer was coaching him.
Yeah, and then he completely regressed last year. But if you go back and watch that first year, I'll tell you who the big time play that we gave up when we had that was the year we had Alabama on the ropes, right? Remember down there? And then Pruitt got a look at what it's like when Alabama gets home cooking from the referees.
Yeah.
The person who gave up the biggest bonehead play of the game was Toto. He gave up a touchdown.
So we're criticizing a true freshman for getting beat on the road against Alabama?
I'm saying that
he's
never –
Wasn't it Najee Harris who caught that ball?
What I'm saying is –
The first-round running back, I mean.
It has nothing to do with Najee Harris. He completely missed – he can't cover.
Fair. He's going to be in the starting lineup for Alabama. He's going to be drafted this time next year.
I will bet you $100 he doesn't start for when? Opening day?
I don't know.
You want to bet $100? I'll throw $100 right now down on your smart ass.
He doesn't start at all for Alabama next year?
I'm not saying that.
I don't know anything about their depth chart, just like you don't know anything about their depth chart.
I know it's filled with five stars.
Alabama offer coming out of high school, who they obviously want again, who was a good player when he was here despite a lack of coaching. Yeah, he's going to be pretty good. And this self-rationalization of,
it's just you trying to score a cheap point. No, you're dumb.
It's dumb,
be
man.
Honest. I'm not saying that I want anything bad for the guy. I'm just taking, I'm honest to God, Russell, I am taking just a completely non-emotional approach. The kid has serious issues as far – I mean, he may go down there and get coached up.
The best linebacker we've had since, what, Jerod Mayo?
No.
Who's better?
AJ.
Speaking of guys who couldn't cover in space, he's done pretty well for himself.
I'm just saying, man.
Okay.
According to ourlads.com, they have two seniors penciled in as their linebackers right now.
Okay.
So. He led our team in missed tackles last year.
Okay.
He also led the team in tackles. I think if you're talking about a guy
nobody else would tackle.
I think if you're talking about a guy who still needs to be developed, if he didn't get enough development at Tennessee, he did pretty darn good without any kind of development as he had 72 tackles
in 2019.
Yeah,
I'm not saying he's not. I mean, you're talking about Alabama. To be able to play middle linebacker at Alabama, you have to be able to cover because of the way Saban likes to – the way he runs that defense.
You have to be able to cover because you have to be able to cover because it's college football in 2021 and everybody throws it.
He's never shown a real propensity for doing that.
I wish he were still here.
I do too.
I wish he were still
here. I'm not saying
He's a very good player.
I'm just saying there's a huge difference between the best player on Tennessee's team and being able to start at Alabama, Russ. And for you to smirk and mealy-mouth and everything you're doing.
You tell yourself whatever you got to tell yourself. Okay.
You're number one in my book, Russ.
Okay. Listen, I don't
it's
wish
one of
him
your
well
dumbest takes ever.
It's one of your dumbest takes ever. Just be
I'm
honest
sure the kid's
with yourself.
Nice. No, I'm not.
I know you're not being honest with yourself.
No, it's not one
you
of those
lie
things.
To yourself.
Oh,
tell yourself whatever you got to tell yourself to sleep at night.
Whatever, Russ. Whatever.
We'll be fine going into the season with Jeremy Banks and a walk-on.
Did I say that?
It's all good.
Rick, did I say that, Rick? Did I say that guy Patterson? I don't think I did, Russ.
Then why are we talking about it? We don't analyze
I don't know, because
the cover skills of any other.
You decided to get cute on Twitter. I wouldn't take the bait. You could sit there and act like you weren't targeting me. I knew you were.
It's not just you. It's a lot of Vol fans.
Yeah.
It's a dumb take.
Yeah. Okay.
It's telling yourself what you want to hear. We don't talk about other Alabama linebackers' coverage skills or lack thereof. Why bring it up?
Because he played for us, and I saw him play, and I watched Alabama.
So why bring it up?
Because
you're getting a linebacker that can't cover.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yay!
I'm just saying, I don't think it's going to surprise me if he's able to start there. Because their linebackers are about 25 pounds heavier, they're faster, they tackle better, and they can cover.
Okay.
Am I wrong? I mean, was that not the talk last year about how much weight the kid had lost?
The talk last year was he was one of our better players and one of the best recruits that we signed in the Pruitt era. And, oh, my God, we really want him. And then it looks like he's going to go. But then it looks like he's going to come back. He's coming into town or something. Oh, yay, come back. All's forgiven. No, he's just really coming in to get some stuff. All right, Henry, don't let the door hit you. You're small and slow, and you can't cover in space, and we didn't really want you, and you're never going to start at Alabama.
That's not anything I
said.
That's
everything you just said. That is literally
your case,
point by point.
Moron. I mean, just a complete moron.
Okay. I mean, if that's your argument.
Yeah, it is, and I'll stand by that statement forever. Well-known moron, Russell Smith.
Okay. I'll take your $100 this time next year.
Oh, yeah. Sure you will.
Yeah. I do think that it is a bummer. It's a double whammy that he's leaving and he goes to your biggest rival. But I don't put any blame for this on Josh Heupel or Danny White or anybody associated with Tennessee. And I don't think that it was some thing of Alabama waiting for him to be cleared or anything like that. I just think it was this guy came to Tennessee. Brian Niedermeyer promised him whatever he promised him to come to Tennessee. Brian Niedermeyer and Pruitt weren't there. And all of a sudden, those promises weren't put in place anymore. He had to go find somewhere where he could get whatever it was that he wanted that brought him here to Tennessee in the first place. And it was between Alabama, Ohio State, and Florida. And surprise, surprise, Alabama is the most appealing. It'll let you decide whatever you want to decide about why that was most appealing to Henry To'oto' and his family. I have my thoughts on it. Is that Trey on?
Yeah.
Let's say, hey, Trey, what's up, bud?
Hey, brother, how are you?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. Just wrapped up an interview with Chris Burke.
Awesome.
To the Tennessee Vol.
Can you hold with us for a quick break so that we could give you the rest of the hour here?
Yeah, you're good, brother.
All right. Trey Wallace of RockyTopInsider.com is with us. We'll get his take on the Henry T situation as well as a couple new roster additions for Josh Heupel over the weekend. Talk a little Tennessee football when we continue next right here. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russell LeBaire back with you. Pleased to be joined right now by our man, Trey Wallace, RockyTopInsider.com. What's up, Trey?
Hey, buddy. Hope y'all are doing well on this Monday.
Doing pretty well, man. No complaints so far. I mean, here's the thing, Trey. All of my sports fandom is going way too good. Way too good right now. Basketball is going well. We got good football recruiting news over the weekend. My Chelsea boys smacked around Bears man crappy team on Saturday. Baseballs get the sweep. Things are going way too good for me right now, Trey. Something terrible is about to happen. I can just feel it.
Yeah, I mean, I check the arrest reports every night. I don't know. I haven't seen anything lately. So I think everything is going pretty swimmingly right now. Tennessee's adding players in the out of the transfer portal, which we were texting back and forth, you know, last week, and I told you guys that was a name that I thought ended up at Tennessee, and Dejon Terry does, and they keep building this roster with the transfer players, and you look at the baseball side of it, they just exploded at Missouri. I mean, they just beat them up. There wasn't really anything close about it on Saturday and Sunday. So things are going well right now for Tennessee Athletics.
Yeah, Missouri's a bad baseball team, man. I haven't watched that entire series, but I watched chunks of every game. And golly, man, they boot the ball around. They don't field very well. Bad base running, bad hitting, bad pitching. But that's not to take anything away from Tennessee. I mean, that's sign of a well-coached team. I think you go on the road and some teams you have an instinct to kind of let up, and they didn't do that. They had to grind it out Friday night, but then they brought out the whooping sticks on Saturday and Sunday and did what you're supposed to do against an overmatched team, which is beat them three times.
Well, it's because, I mean, you look around the conference, we've seen teams, better teams, get beat. I mean, you know, like Kentucky, Florida, or look what Georgia did at Arkansas, or South Carolina over Mississippi State. So Tennessee did what they were supposed to do. They got the sweep. They needed the sweep. And now they're sitting at number four in the country. And goodness gracious, get by Tennessee Tech tomorrow night. Take care of business. You got the number one team in the country coming into town in 100% capacity, Lindsey Nelson Stadium.
Who beat – was Tennessee Tech that beat us midweek?
That was Lipscomb.
Okay. But they had a real close one. We walked it off against Tennessee Tech a couple of weeks ago too. So
yeah, they'll be okay. They'll be good. So it was a solid weekend for Tony V and the boys, and now you get to come home. They crashed the ticket website earlier, bro.
Oh, really?
Yes, they crashed the ticket website once they announced 100%. So I think there's still some available if you want to get them for $10. So that'll be a crazy game this weekend.
Yeah, I'd imagine. I can't imagine it won't be total sellout all the way around.
No, absolutely. No, absolutely. So that's what makes it even better. So it's weird that we're talking Tennessee baseball in the month of May, you know, and being the number four team in the country. So I think that's a testament to what Tony V and his coaching staff and all the players are over there doing. So I'll take it, man. Gives us something to talk about.
Trey, I've heard that behind the scenes, Danny White is trying to get Tony V set up. Do you think there's any chance that we could hear news about a contract extension and before the end of the season so that we can dispense with this, somebody's going to come and steal him from us conversation that Tennessee fans have been having for over a month now?
Well, talking with some folks last night after Tennessee finished up, and there have been conversations between Tony Vitello and Danny White. And the guys over there, the Reed Sigmunds, people that kind of run the money situation over there. And they're, you know, they've been talking extension. They've been talking money. But the big thing is they're talking money for their assistant coaches and strength coach, and also the expansion of Lindsey Nelson Stadium, and just to have plans. You know,
And I want to get kind of a, I'll give you kind of a sneak peek of what Chris Burke, you know, just told me. He goes, Trey, if you look around the country, there are no suites for Tennessee baseball. Mm-hmm. There's no suites. There's no money maker. You know, so Tennessee baseball is doing what they have to do without the luxuries that other baseball teams around the Southeastern Conference have. And he kind of pointed that out to being a testament of what Tony Vitello and his crew have done, was you can get the excitement, and then you can also, it's just, it's kind of the run-of-the-mill fans is kind of what I'm getting at. You know, they're not over there, you know, they don't have luxury suites down the third baseline, or they don't have apartment suites in the left field like at Mississippi State. So it's pretty neat to see how they're trying to put this thing together, and talking with some folks at Tennessee about this, they are hell-bent on getting a deal done with Tony V. Now, look, do I think, does it get done before, you know, the season ends or a super regional or regional happens? I don't know. I would hope so, because there's going to be some teams eliminated from this thing after the SEC tournament or that first weekend, and then the conversations, you know, will start happening through agents and all that good stuff. So I think Danny White understands what he has over there right now, and he doesn't want to lose it. So that's the conversations I've had.
It would just be nice for the fans if they could go ahead and get this thing locked up before the – I mean, I feel like that would put a sense of relief, because I think there are – I think everybody's that's going to jump on the bandwagon is jumping on with both feet. But I think there are also – I think that it's just battered Vol fan syndrome, that there are a couple of fans that are like, man, I love this. This is a lot of fun. But I don't want to jump on this particular bandwagon only to see this dude turn around and leave us for a quote-unquote bigger baseball job at the end of the season. I can't stand that kind of heartbreak right now, which I understand.
That's why you have to offer them the money that fits at LSU or Arkansas, you know, or Florida. You know, you're going to have to offer them the 1.1, the 1.2. You know, he's not getting Tim Corbin money, but he needs to be in that 1.1, 1.2 range. And then you also need to give a bump in the salaries to the assistant coaches and also the strength coaches. And if you can go ahead and do that, you know, I think you set yourself up nicely. Don't let LSU, and I'm just throwing out names here, don't let LSU or A&M or somebody like that come in and offer him, okay, here's 1.3, 1.4, then you get into a bidding war. Go ahead and offer him the market value, you know, 1.2, and lay out the plans that you have for Lindsey Nelson Stadium, because it's going to be a minute before they get that stadium up downtown if they want to do any kind of cross promotion. So go ahead and get it done. There's no reason to wait until the season. This is not like a football season where the athletic director sits down with the head coach and is like, okay, let's review the year. Do you deserve a raise? All that good stuff. No. We are in almost the middle of May in college baseball, and the Tennessee Volunteers are ranked fourth in the country. Pay the man what he needs.
Show him the money.
Show me the money.
Show my guy the money, Danny White. I think he's going to do it, man, so I'm not going to put too much pressure on him. Trey Wallace hanging out with us here this afternoon. All right, Trey, let's talk some football here. So now, all the transfer portal has been kind to Tennessee. It's been unkind and kind at the same time, as we've had all the productive players, it seems, from last year's team are gone, but we're bringing some guys in. How much can we expect out of the transfer portal? Because I understand it's cool to get excited about Joe Milton. It's cool to get excited about Dejon Terry and all these dudes. We've got six or seven now, the receiver from Mississippi State last week. But I also look on it, and I kind of temper the expectations a little bit, because we've been seeing a lot of these immediate transfers come in with limited impact here through the years. I go back to who's the running back that
Madre London.
Madre London. Oh, my God. I can't believe you remember that, Wallace.
That was
quick, too. He's actually playing in Germany. Like, he just put it on his Twitter account the other day.
Madre London. That's fantastic.
He's playing in Germany.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's playing that European league.
The Abernathy kid from Cincinnati. I think we took a DB. Even I go all the way back to Malik Jackson, and he was a productive player here. But if you had told any of us, I think, in 2010, 2011, the 2 years he played here, look, this dude's going to play for like 10 years in the NFL. He's going to sign that massive contract. I don't think anybody would have gone for that at the time.
Maybe it wouldn't have surprised me.
So I just no. – my question is, how much can we realistically expect from all these guys?
Well, you okay, so let's break it down. You take stock in Joe Milton because he's a quarterback. I think he can come in here and I think he can compete for the number one job. You take stock in Juwan Mitchell because he can come in here and he can be the linebacker that you need lining up beside Jeremy Banks. You take Javonte Payton. Okay, well, Tennessee's got a pretty decent wide receiver room. We'll see what Malachi Wyman ends up doing if he's suited up in the fall. But I think Tennessee was kind of solid at that spot, but they wanted to get somebody lined up who they can count on with experience in the slot. Okay, and then you go to Southern Cal and you grab Caleb Tremblay, defensive lineman. Okay, he's a pretty decent pass rusher. Tennessee needs some folks on the defensive line because I expect some kind of attrition from the defensive line either before fall camp or after. And then you go out and you add Dejon Terry, who just entered his name into the portal a couple of days ago, and he's already evolved. So pretty much what I'm saying is that thing was done. And he's a kid who only has 3 years of experience playing football. A lot of people don't know this, but he only started playing football his senior year of high school. I talked with some coaches at my alma mater at South Alabama who recruited him out of high school, and he's just a freak. They say he's just a freak with raw athletic ability. He hasn't been taught any kind of bad technique or anything, you know, even though he was at Kansas for 2 years. But he's somebody Rodney Garner can build up, and the guy's mobile, and he's ferocious. You know, he's 6 foot five, 320 pounds. He's somebody that Tennessee needs. So when you look at the list of the players, they filled spots that they thought going into spring they were going to need, and definitely coming out of spring. Because, you know, the Joe Milton thing, that was done before spring. Juwan Mitchell thing, that thing was pretty much done, I don't know, halfway through spring, midway through spring. And then you go out and you add some receivers and defensive linemen. So if you look at the spots that they're adding positions at, I would imagine, and this is just me saying this, I would think that the coaching staff understands that there might be some more players potentially leaving, so they need to go ahead and shore up those spots. And I think they did good with Terry, because watching his film, I think he could be a force, you know, alongside somebody like Elijah Simmons up front, you know, some players along those lines. So I think they did good on those spots.
I know this one much, Trey. When if you're a local buffet and you see Dejon Terry and Elijah Simmons running up on you, you're that cook staff. You're like, oh God, here we go. They're ready to work overtime. Those boys can put away the food.
Go to a hibachi restaurant. You're like, oh, okay, let's get extras. We got to get extras. So you know what? It's good that Tennessee added those positions, because I think, and let's be honest between us and everybody listening, they didn't get anything, and this is not a knock, this is just reality. They didn't get anything out of Darrell Middleton last year. They didn't get anything out of Aubrey Solomon last year. Latrell Bumpus is still coming back from, his knee injury. You hope Elijah Simmons kind of takes that next step over the summer, loses a little bit more weight to be a force up front. But then, because you're I think you're pretty much set on the outside. And you've got Tyler Barron, you've got Byron Young. If you want to switch Morvin Joseph in there and let him come off the edge as well. And I could Bryson Easton, I could go on. But what I'm getting at, I think they were set at those spots, but I think they understood, again, where they needed it. And Ronnie Garner wants his defensive lineman. They're going to go get their defensive lineman.
Trey Wallace, RockyTopInsider.com. Check him out. Former member of The Drive.
Hey, what did you think about the long-awaited news that we all knew was coming with Tua Tagovailoa to Alabama?
It's a sore spot for Bear.
It's not a sore spot for me. I didn't say I didn't think he could play. There's a huge difference between me saying I don't think he can play and I think he's going to start at Alabama, like Russell, who is apparently his street agent now.
He had the worst linebackers coach in SEC football last year. And so I could only go up.
I know. And I did say that, Trey. But Russ is doing this thing. Russ is disappointed because I didn't take the bait over the weekend with the stupid tweet he sent out where he basically called me an idiot. and without naming me.
Not just you, lots of people.
Yeah, but his, we,
it's Trey, a popular,
you know,
thing.
Trey, you know, we who all his it. Target was.
I know. I mean, I get that. But you can also blame that on folks like Mike Farrell, who's been putting out for 3.5 weeks, oh, he's going to Ohio State, he's going to Ohio State. It's like, dude, until you know, stop reporting some dumbass news. Like, oh, wow. I hate that type of thing. I just do. I don't care for it.
I mean, I said all along, Trey, that I thought it would come if Alabama did offer him, it would be after spring practice. He'd figure out what he had, what he needed, if he had a spot for him, and apparently he had a spot for him.
Well, here's the good thing about that. With him, and I think you guys will agree, with him being taken by Alabama and that being wrapped up, I think we can go ahead and say, okay, the SEC is going to pass the inter-conference transfer rule, without a doubt. Like, I don't think Saban makes that move without Greg, him knowing that they're going to pass that rule where he's eligible to play this year.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I guess
that.
That's good for us from the standpoint of the receiver from Mississippi State. And, yeah, Justin Powell is probably the
basketball.
Even bigger one there. Trey, what get your take on the fight game. I saw where Canelo ran through some oil can over the weekend. Is this what boxing has become? Really, there are no good fights out there except for a bunch of washed-up boxers against young, brash YouTube stars. Is that where we're at right now with the sport of kings?
You know, I knew that there was something wrong when I texted you Saturday night at 9:30 with a couple interesting links, and you were like, oh, I didn't know that they were actually fighting. So I knew that boxing, you know, and even Cowboy Cerrone, who, God bless him, he needs to retire. That was rough. I mean, I don't know, man. 70,000 people in Jerry's world, and you get in there, and Canelo, you know, is pound for pound probably the best there is right now, even though I'd like to see another fight with Triple G. But, you know, his next fight is going to be against Nashville's own Caleb Plant. So, I mean, I don't know, man. The fight game has kind of lost its luster. Like, I don't care about Mayweather and these Paul boys. It does nothing for me. Like the whole I stole your hat thing last week, like that was horrible promotion. Like,
I don't know. I thought that was actually kind of funny. But
it was gone, but like it was all set up. Like,
but yeah, it's not a Tyson fight or it's not Hearns Hagler.
Yeah, I miss those days where, you know, I'd go over to my uncle's house and he would illegally go out to the street and flip the switch where we could watch HBO boxing and have these huge, big fights. And, you know, now. Well,
I just think it's interesting. And it's been very quick, right? It wasn't that gradual. But 20 years ago, you know, Tyson's career is winding down. You've still got Lennox Lewis. You've still got Roy Jones Jr., some other big names out there. Boxing is still a serious thing. And MMA at the time was – human cockfighting. Yeah, it was these
Chuck
weird.
Liddell,
yeah, exactly. These weird, crazy dudes out there, and now it's completely reversed. Where MMA is the legitimate sport, where people that's MMA is the sweet science, and boxing is the sideshow.
No, I mean I agree. I think everything's changed. I mean, just look at it. I mean, even. You know, what's the next big heavyweight fight? So we're going to see Anthony Joshua fight Tyson Fury, I guess, you know, and then whoever wins that fights Deontay Wilder. I mean, I don't know, man. The boxing has changed. And I was a boxing purist. I love boxing compared to MMA. But now it's just kind of flipped. And here's the other thing, too. There's an MMA fight on, like, every night now. So it's like it's overexposed. Like,
well, and it's quicker, too. Like
last weekend.
Yeah, and it's quicker, and I think the other thing is it's safer. I think there's less head injuries when you see
Donald Cerrone.
Well, when you see a lot of these UFC fights, they last maybe a round or two. It's very rare that you see a fight go more than three rounds, and the fight's over in 25 minutes at max, usually much less than that. Whereas a boxing match can go on for 10 rounds, and after an hour watching two get, especially heavyweights, hit each other, it's like, oh, well, this dude's just getting permanent brain injury. And I don't think people want to watch that anymore.
No, it turns into punch drunk. Unfortunately, we don't have anything in America that's like over in, you know, Great Britain with Anthony Joshua. You don't have that
that big name guy, and you're not going to be able to sell out. Now, you could sell out. You could sell out an arena in Texas, you know, just because of how big of a following Canelo has. But you couldn't, you know, I don't know if you could sell out a stadium in Indianapolis, you know, with big time U.S. fighters. So I don't know. The game's changed. It's all weird now. You got horrible promoters out there just worrying about themselves, and now I have to listen to this idiot Floyd Mayweather talk for the next 2 months before his fight in Miami. And honestly, I could care less. And I, you know, I wish he would just get knocked out before he even arrived at the stadium. So it is what it is.
Trey, we appreciate you. What do you guys have cooking over at RTI?
Yeah, man. Just talked to Chris Burke just a little bit ago. Going to have that posted here this week. Got an interview with Josh Heupel that'll be posted this week as well. So just cranking out some content, buddy. Look forward to a fun week of baseball, and we'll see if Tennessee's done in the transfer portal. I think they have one spot left, if I'm not mistaken. The numbers are all weird, but I think they have one spot left. So we'll see what comes of it. And I always appreciate you boys, and I love you.
All right, bud. Love you, too. Thanks for jumping on. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks, buddy. See you, Bear.
Trey Wallace making his presence felt this afternoon on The Drive. We got a lot to unpack there.
Trey bringing the knowledge.
Dropping the knowledge like so many hammers from the sky. Love talking football with Trey Dubs.
Scoops.
I wonder, man, you think there'd be – if we take one more transfer, what position should it be at, ideally? Is it just best player available?
Maybe best defensive player available. I do feel pretty good about the offensive side of the ball, but kind of like Trey was saying there in that interview, that is still where you kind of got to fill some of the holes. And Tennessee knew.
Back into the front seven.
I think if you can find an elite pass rusher, which those guys are probably few and far between at this point, that's great. But, that secondary is just – we've got a bunch of guys back there who are just average players. And, again, maybe there's not a difference maker out there in the portal right now, but – You need some options back there because we just not a lot of star power in the Tennessee secondary these days. Hour number two of The Drive coming up. Guy Patterson III will have your top four at four when we continue coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.